Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, available on all platforms, including YouTube. Make sure you check out everything David Harrison and I are doing over at BucsNation.com. Make sure you follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JRCO underscore Bucks, at DHarrison82, at EKloskyWTSP, and at Bucks underscore Nation. That's right. Finally, after a month, WTSP Wednesday has returned. There were scheduling conflicts. There was craziness. There was internet blackouts. But Evan, we back.
We are back. You know, a lot has changed. Got to wear a mask now inside. It's been a crazy stretch, but we are here, and we are about to get a rolling, baby. It's playoffs. This is what we've worked all the time for.
Yep, we got Playoff Klosky on the Locked On Bucks podcast.
Playoff Lenny, Playoff Klosky. This is how it works.
That's right. But before we get into the playoff discussion, which is going to be coming up in the next segment, David and I had a very long conversation about the – yeah, it's the two-headed monster for the MVP, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. Both sides have compelling cases. Both, you can make an argument for either side to win this award. You can make an argument against either side to not win this award. I had said on yesterday's episode that if the Colts make the playoffs, I think the MVP is Jonathan Taylor. You said right before we started recording that Cooper Kupp should have been in this conversation because of the absolutely stellar year that he had, but the MVP is no longer the MVP, right? It's the who is the quarterback of the best team. That's who's going to get the award. So David put together a bunch of different stats comparing the two. Brady and Rodgers, both teams had the same record. Both of their offenses had 4.3 yards per carry on the rushing side. Brady had more attempts, more completions, more yards, more touchdowns, and he had a higher drop rate. His wide receivers were dropping 6.7% of passes compared to Green Bay Packers receivers dropping 4.2%. So Brady's stats could have been even a little bit higher. But you take a look at the Rodgers side, more wins against playoff teams. He has a better passing percentage. He has fewer interceptions. He has fewer turnover-worthy plays, and he has more yards per average. What is your stance on the MVP race between Brady, Rodgers? Who do you think deserves it? Who do you think is going to end up with it? What are your thoughts on it?
It's just – it's a super – okay, the number one thing that I want to say about this race is I don't know why Rodgers is such the runaway favorite. Okay.
Like, yeah.
Let's go back. Brady was the leader in the clubhouse. He was the favorite for MVP until the Saints game, right? Now the Saints game was a disaster. Nothing short of just a horrific performance all around. You know, from the outside looking in, that was on a primetime slot, and it was a team screwing up against the Saints, a team they should have beaten. When you look at just, you know, black and white, what the teams look like roster-wise. Having said that, I'm somebody that believed that the Saints defense, if they would have made the playoffs, would have been very dangerous. The Saints defense was completely healthy that game.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. While their offense was a mess, which is why we had a 9-0 score, their defense was fully healthy. And two, you know, Brady lost Godwin and Mike Evans in that game. So did not have Antonio Brown. So that, I mean, you lost Leonard Fournette. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, we had Jalen Darden going out for passes. So, you know, while Aaron Rodgers did have that performance when he was also missing a ton of his guys, I believe against the Cardinals, right?
Yeah.
You know, he was able to weather that storm. I don't know where I stand. It just depends on where you put the most emphasis. I mean, look, Bruce Arians in this system is made to put up a lot more yards. You know, people say that Brady padded stats. There was no padding of stats. I think there was one BS touchdown at the end of the Miami game. I think that was the only one I can really find. You know, he wasn't padding stats against the Bears. They did all the damage in the first half. What do you want him to do? What is he supposed to do? So, go through all the games. And the problem is why you think he was padding stats is because the Bucks defense was injured for a large portion of the season. And that made for a very uneasy feeling for the offense, which was for a long time very healthy and was able to really carry the load for this team. So there was never really this sense of feeling safe. They had to always put up points when necessary, because again, their defense just didn't have the bodies to feel confident on that side of the ball. So I think, as you mentioned off the top, if you told me that Brady is your MVP, I have an argument to tell you, well, here's why Rodgers should be it. If you told me Rodgers is your MVP, I got arguments for Brady, and I can probably counter whatever you say. It really all comes down to where you lie on the spectrum. I really don't hope that the voters make this personal with Rodgers. It's not about that. It should just be about the on-field product. But things could get personal in the sense of not only what Rodgers, had to miss a game, his immunized status, whatever that is, not getting into that, but some voters might make that personal, and they might want to reward Brady for being 44 and give him the Lifetime Achievement Award of saying, hey, this is probably the last time you're ever going to be in the MVP race. This is probably you're warranted to earn it. It's kind of no different than Fleury getting it over Vasi. If you follow hockey,
good point.
Just one of those scenarios where you just pay homage to a guy who did spectacular things at an older age. Now Brady's won the MVP before, but it's been a long time. So this would be a good tip of the cap to send him off. So, long story short, I think that I lean the slightest on Rodgers, but can be convinced to go Brady. Only reason I go Rodgers is because if you wipe away that Saints game, which was a weird start to the season, the guy just never made mistakes. His efficiency numbers are spectacular. And I think the efficiency with the lack of mistakes, if you don't make turnovers, you're going to win ball games. If Brady didn't make that turnover in New Orleans, if he didn't have the turnovers against Washington football team, those two games where I thought Brady could have elevated his play, and not to be, put him under a microscope, but he had a spectacular year. But Brady started making mistakes towards the second half of the season, whereas when he started, he was not throwing any picks. So I'm one that probably values efficiency and the lack of turnovers a little bit more, which is why I'd give it to Rodgers. But if you're out there and you think Brady's your MVP, I will not disagree with you. I understand the argument for him and I support it. There we go.
I think David also had another great point on yesterday's show, and it's not going to have any play in the voting whatsoever. But if you really want to talk about who is the most valuable player, what is the the biggest calling card when all of these Saints fans or Packers fans or anybody else is talking to a Buccaneers fan on social media? Well, if you didn't have Brady, or as soon as you don't have Brady, your team's going to be trash again. Well, then it sounds to me like that one guy is pretty valuable to the franchise. And
you say the same thing for Rodgers? Saw Jordan Love.
Sure, but that doesn't mean Jordan Love will be their starter next year.
No, I get that. But if you removed Aaron Rodgers from the Packers right now, they'd be trash. The offense would be trash. Same thing with the Buccaneers.
It would probably be bad, but they're also
the most valuable player. If we want to talk about the most valuable, it's Cooper Kupp. Robert Woods went down. Who else is their receiving option without Kupp? He needed to carry the load for Stafford. Van Jefferson was their other guy. Higby was in and out. So it's like,
don't forget Odell Beckham.
Jonathan Taylor. Those guys were the make or break players for their teams. Those people, I think were the, when you get into it, but to me, that's an even, you remove Brady, you remove Rodgers, both teams stink without him. That's just, it's a wash. Honestly, the Buccaneers are definitely worse off without, because I think the Packers defense is a little bit better, but.
Yeah. Well, it's something that's not going to get resolved for a few more weeks, but something that could get resolved are some of our viewers and listeners' New Year's resolutions. And of course, that means getting fit, eating healthier, and that means they need to include Built Bar into their plan. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even a little bit better. But Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good, you actually want to eat it. Unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky, waxy, taste like a chemical spill. I have two boxes just came in the mail today. Peanut butter brownie, cookies and cream. I'm packing them in the bag, taking them up to Cleveland for the hockey tournament that my son is playing in this
week. They're all going to be gone.
Yeah, going to be passing them out to teammates. Hey, you need a little boost before this game? Here is your Built Bar. And the parents are cool with it because they're good for you. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a kid wolfing down a Snickers bar or something like that. You're looking at around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, dozens of carbs. And you don't have to roll with peanut butter brownie or cookies and cream like I do. There's also raspberry, salted caramel, mint brownie, coconut almond, many more. Built is always coming out with new limited time flavors. So check out built.com to check out what's new. Go to built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. You are going to get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Segment two here of the Locked On Bucks podcast. James Yerko, Evan Klosky, thanking you for making Locked On Bucks your first listen or first watch every day. Something that is going to be watched is going to be the Bucks playoff games. All of them, whether it's one or four, whatever the count, by Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman on Tuesday placed on injured reserve for the second time. That means his season is done. Finito. Over. He helped the Bucks get a win against the Patriots on like 3 days practice. Well, against the Dolphins. Came in sporadically throughout the rest of the season. Played a little bit of safety against the Buffalo Bills. He was back there. But unfortunately, he just dealt with injury after injury after injury. And this, you know, if this is the end of the road for Richard Sherman, it's kind of a bummer. We were all really hoping that Sherman was going to be able to come in and help this team. And he did, just not to the capacity that a lot of people were hoping. And, you know, we're talking about a Hall of Fame career, no doubt. Hall of Famer Richard Sherman when he does call it a career. But this might be his body saying, you know what? Sherman, you got the brain, but you don't have the body to do this anymore. But he's going to go back to that sideline role of Coach Sherm, as he's been deemed by some of his teammates, rallying with the secondary, working with the young guys, working with the corners and the safeties. So, Evan, heading into this postseason with Richard Sherman now kind of taking on that AQ Shipley role. We saw him get injured last year against the Chicago Bears, career ender. He immediately becomes an interim coach on Arian's staff. Now he's a full-time coach over there. What can Coach Sherm, with his knowledge, with his playoff experience, with his championship pedigree, what can he bring to this Bucks secondary and this Bucks defense for this playoff run?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it never hurts to have a wise mind in the room. I mean, he's been there all season long, and I just want to say this: there should be a sense of appreciation for Richard Sherman with the fan base. The guy gets signed, comes in, practices 3 days, didn't have an off season, didn't have a preseason, pushed his body, and I think he was playing behind the sticks the entire season with where his body needed to be and where the team needed him to be and when he signed on and what the expectations were. Because, you know, look, the Bucks are signing him at that point in time. They already suffered a slew of injuries. I mean, even in that Patriots game, they actually, you know, Carlton Davis gets injured and they need him even more after that. Right. So you got to remember that they signed Richard Sherman in desperate times. And Sherman tried to do his best. And I just, you know, I don't know if this is the end for Sherman yet. I think that, you know, there's still a possibility that maybe he'll come back. And, you know, Brady comes back, which we think is going to happen. He says, let's go one more ride. And I would imagine he wants to get something signed very quickly. And this way he can actually get, you know, get himself together. But you know, hopefully this isn't the way that he ends. And again, just to your point, I was at practice last week and everybody was gone, but the secondary was hanging out there on the field and there was Sherman, you know, talking about leverage. I could tell by the way that he was using his hands. And he had a group around him. Everybody respects him in that locker room, as you mentioned. I mean, he's one of the best to ever play that position. He will be a Hall of Famer, part of that Legion of Boom there in Seattle. He is extremely smart. So the fact that he's not going to be playing, unfortunate. I don't think it really changes anything for the Bucks. I don't think he necessarily was going to play that much anyway with an extremely healthy roster. We'll see with Jamel Dean. But, you know, yeah. If you had everybody healthy, I don't think Sherman really cracks the rotation. So, you know, he's a guy that you can spell in and out, and that's probably way more effective anyway. But in the grand scheme of things, doesn't really affect the team on the field that much. And he will be a tremendous source of knowledge for so many in that locker room as they try to make a Super Bowl push. Somebody who understands that very well, as he's won Super Bowls and he's lost Super Bowls. He's won a Super Bowl and has lost Super Bowls. Should have won multiple Super Bowls. Hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and Sherman tweeted out, quote, "Didn't go how I wanted it to, but I'm grateful for the opportunity to strap it up again. Looking forward to continuing this journey with my teammates and coaching my butt off. Thank you for all the support this season. The body gave all it had, and I'm grateful." So nice things there from Richard Sherman on Twitter. And maybe you're right. Maybe he does come back for one more year with the Bucks as kind of a rotational guy. And maybe with a full offseason, full program, he can get his body acclimated in the time frame which it should have been, rather than trying to go from 0 to 100 in the blink of an eye, and the Bucks would be able to get a little bit more out of Sherman. But for now, Coach Sherm, help out that secondary in the postseason. And their first test coming up this weekend, not the first go-around for these two teams in the postseason. Of course, the Bucks beat the Eagles in the NFC Championship. Everyone remembers Rondé Barber's famous pick six, but Bucks fans also remember the pain and agony and torture that the Eagles caused the Buccaneers in years prior to that. So there's a little bit of a postseason rivalry there. None of the players that were there, you know, at that time, obviously playing now, but the Eagles got hot, you know, late down the stretch. They looked like a much better team than they did in week six against the Buccaneers when they lost in that primetime game. But they still don't have any wins, or they didn't have any wins against teams above 500. So you take a look at the matchup. It's in my opinion, it's a good matchup for the Buccaneers, obviously. But what is, in your opinion, the biggest threat that the Eagles pose to the Buccaneers in this game?
It's the running. It's Jalen Hurts and going off script and breaking containment and all that stuff. The first meeting that they played against the Eagles, I believe Hurts only had 44 yards rushing. He had 2 touchdowns, but it was something low. So they did their job. When you force Hurts to be a quarterback and not a scrambler, you're going to force him to make mistakes. You're going to force him into sacks, which is what happened in that game as well. You know, he tries to scramble around, you sack him. Now they're second and long, and now they're totally screwed, and they're going to have to punt. So they just need to dig up that old playbook that they had in week six. But you got to remember, they're a totally different rushing defense now versus then. Coincidentally enough, they did not have Levante David in that game against the Eagles. They did just fine. This should be a Devin White reemergence game, because now you're saying, yo, bro, your assignment is Jalen Hurts. Lock it in. And I believe that 45 is going to do that. Having said that, they're a squad that, you know, they're third against the rush in the NFL. But since the bye week in week 10, they're giving up an average of 105 yards per game. And if you remember, Josh Allen torched them with power runs, just completely took over in that second half. So if I'm the Eagles, I'm looking at the Bills tape saying, what did Josh Allen do to screw with the Buccaneers rushing defense? Now, Josh Allen is better than Jalen Hurts. You got to worry about that arm. Not to mention, Josh Allen also has Stephon Diggs out there, who you got to worry about again too. But still, you should be able to kind of look at that game, figure it out. And I would imagine that Jalen Hurts will be doing power runs and they will be doing designs for him to just go wildcat and just dance around and pick up chunks of yards.
Yeah, it's certainly a concern anytime you have a mobile quarterback like that. I mean, I loved having Jalen Hurts in fantasy this year because all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, he's scoring 26 points because he's running all over the place, keeping the Eagles in games. And it's not like he doesn't have some weapons to get the ball to, but I don't think Devontae Smith has panned out quite to what we thought he would. Doesn't mean
almost 1,000 yards this season. Very quietly.
Absolutely. Very quiet year. I mean, he could end up being one of the best receivers in the NFL, no doubt about it. But sometimes there is that little bit of an acclimation period. He's, you know, getting used to the NFL game, getting used to Jalen Hurts as his quarterback. They're working on that chemistry. You know, I think he has one of the better tight end, you know, pass catching options out there in Dallas Goedert. It's the Eagles are a good team, but I don't know if they're good enough to overcome the Bucs. But you're 100% right. The key is being able to prevent Jalen Hurts from beating you with your legs. We're going to get to Evan's predictions here in just a moment. But first, I have to tell you guys about an incredible app for anyone that buys gas. And that, of course, is GetUpside. Our listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN and get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making up $200 to $300 per month in cash back. There's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account, and you can cash out anytime using your bank account, your PayPal account. You can redeem it for e-gift cards because who doesn't love shopping on Amazon? They got everything. Just download
literally everything.
Literally, just download the free GetUpside app. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first take. That's promo code TOUCHDOWN. Some of that cash back that you get, you can roll right over and hammer the Bucks this weekend against the Philadelphia Eagles with our friends at Bet Online. Bet Online remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the game starts. Wrapping things up here on a Wednesday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast. James Yarko, Evan Klosky on Twitter at @JYarko_Bucks, @EKlosky, WTSP. It's prediction time. You've been real good at these. We had somebody call in and ask us if we had ever gotten any predictions like dead on, things like that. And David and I answered it on yesterday's show. And it ended up having to be cut for time because we were about this close to getting in some big trouble for running so far over. we'll circle back to it at some point. David and I will. But you were on a run there at the beginning of the year that you just week after week after week, you were either getting your player of the game right or your bold right. Or I think you nailed the score dead on once or twice. But there was
a 1 week that I was like 1 or 2 points. I think it might have been the Patriots game. I think the Patriots game
might have been.
I almost nailed the Patriots game, if I remember. I know that I nailed Gronkowski out of the gates that first game at 2 TD.
Yes.
I nailed that right out of the biz. So
yeah,
I had moments.
You absolutely
I had some peaks. I had some valleys.
That's part of the fun of it.
Yep.
That's part of the game. So let's play that game, Evan. I'll be doing mine, of course, on Friday's episode with David. But let's jump in first. Playoff weekend, home game, Philadelphia Eagles, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who is going to emerge as the player of the game?
Player of the game, defensively is going to be Devin White, and player, but my overall player of the game is going to be Rob Gronkowski. The Eagles are not good against a tight end. Even in the week where they didn't have Gronk against the Eagles the first time around, the combination of O.J. Howard and Cam Brate, I think, had 9 receptions, 75 yards, and a tutty. So, you know, they need Gronk and Mike Evans desperately here in the playoffs, and nothing screams to me more than Rob Gronkowski taking over like he has the last couple of weeks than this game right here. I'm expecting a monster performance, especially in the red zone. You know, even if the yards aren't there, when it comes red zone time, touchdown, tutty, Rob, whatever he calls himself, Robbie Tutty, red zone Robbie. I think red zone Robbie, that's it.
That might have been it. Now, this is a guy, he didn't score a touchdown in the postseason last year until the Super Bowl. Yeah. But the Bucs need him. They need him to produce. They need him to move the chains. They need him to score touchdowns. I like the pick. I think the Eagles defense is definitely susceptible to the tight end position, as they have put on display, not just against the Bucs in week 6, but all year long. Yeah. What is your bold prediction for this one? How wild and bold are we getting for the postseason?
Jalen Hurts less than 30 yards rushing.
Okay, I love it. That's, Devin White is that spy. Yeah, gotta keep him in check.
I'm sold on the fact that Todd Bowles versus a young coaching staff. Even though I will say this, the Eagles have had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. Mm-hmm. They have known that the Buccaneers are their likely opponent. For a while. To be fair, I think the Buccaneers have as well, but the Bucs had to fight for seeding. The Eagles punted the game against the Cowboys, and I'm sure they were studying Bucs film then. They were the previous week, and they're studying up again even more. So sometimes you'll hear from Super Bowl coaches that you can get caught over-analyzing and overdoing it. I think the Eagles are going to – this is going to be this – you know, every team kind of needs that wake-up moment, you know, oh, like, welcome to the show. And I think a lot of people on the Eagles team, they're going to have that experience, and it's going to make them better in the future. But I think Bowles will be able to expose the Eagles a little bit, fluster Hurts, and, you know, as we saw in the national championship game when he got pulled for Tua, sometimes – you can game plan for Hurts, and when he's frazzled and not looking good, it gets ugly and it gets bad. So, you know, Hurts can be great, but he can also be really, really bad.
All right. Well, what is your score prediction in this one?
Final score, 27-17, Bucs cover, Bucs move on. I think the Bucs will take care of business. Maybe the Eagles come out with a quick touchdown, you know, the game scripting helps. They get through that. And maybe it's a little tight there at halftime, but Tommy and the boys, they'll get it done. And I think they'll cover.
All right. And real quick, something that I didn't prepare you for, but it was a conversation my son and I had. And I'd like your take on it, as we have a couple of seconds here before we wrap. What team are you most afraid of if you're the Buccaneers to face in the postseason?
The Rams. That's why I've been talking about it. I talked about it on Thursday. You know, the money situation happened where you had the Cardinals slip into that 3 slot. I do not like the Rams for the Bucs. You know, they're a different team than what we saw when they played earlier in the season. But the thing about the Rams is they have a great secondary. You have Jalen Ramsey. Ramsey will just match up on Mike Evans, and he's taken off. Then the rest of the team will just focus on Gronkowski. Now, you know, you're pretty much depending on Leonard Fournette. Well, they have an explosive defensive front, Von Miller. So there's just the Bucs' strength goes exactly to the Rams' strength, and I lean Rams in that take. I also don't think the Bucs will be able to limit Cooper Kupp. So even though Stafford, playoff Stafford, is always a sight to behold. But the Rams for the Buccaneers. Now the Rams might be bounced way before, you know, before that. They might not have to worry about it. But you know, you talk about a team that I think the Packers can absolutely get upset by the Rams if that is happening the week prior. There's a lot of stars on that team, and if they step up, they do what they got to do. They're scary. And I'm thinking it might be one of those funny things where the Bucs just hosted a Super Bowl and played in it that we didn't have it for 50 some odd years. And all of a sudden we're going to get back to backs. Yeah. So my sleeper team to make the Super Bowl, if it's not the Buccaneers, the Rams. The LA Rams are my choice.
Interesting. Interesting. I'm going to have to ask David about that on Friday, and at that point I will reveal mine. But, you know, that's a solid take. I wasn't expecting it, but it makes a lot of sense. With that, Evan, we have got to get out of here. We thank everyone for making today's episode of the Locked On Bucks podcast your first listen or first watch every day. Now make your second listen of the Locked On Bets podcast, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. Also free and available on all platforms. David will be back tomorrow with a crossover Thursday playoff edition. And for those of you who are gearing up for the game on Sunday, there's only one pregame show that you need to tune into. Evan, let them know.
The Blitz. And by the way, 8:30 in the morning. Ooh-hoo. We're kicking it off. Yeah, it's an early one.
Early one.
Playoffs are a little bit different. So 8:30 in the morning, the Blitz with our guys, Simeon Rice. It's a heck of a time. So please come join us. We're going to have a lot of fun, as there's a lot to talk about. Not as much as last episode with Antonio Brown. I hope you got that in the DVR because Sim was bringing the heat. But definitely one you'll want to tune in for.
All right. And, of course, you can do that over on 10 Tampa Bay. You can check out everything I'm doing over at BucksNation.com. Make sure you're following all of the social media accounts, or all the handles on Twitter, whatever you want. All of us, the five Twitter handles, at @LockedOnBucks, at @JArco_Bucks, at @DHarrison82, at @EBlossyWTN.
You need another Bill Bar, bro.
And at @Bucks_Nation. It's been a long day, very long day, and it's only going to get longer. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands. #TVMVP. Thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.